This is a Beautiful Mars podcast for Wednesday, September 30th, 2015, from HiRISE, on board NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. Aeolian features of Skandia Cavi. This HiRISE image shows modified Barshan dunes with shapes that resemble raptor claws. This unusual morphology of these dunes suggests a limited supply of windblown sand. Winds likely blew from the northeast, resulting in elongate dunes with an asymmetric downward point. The transverse crests of the smaller ripples, megaripple bedforms surrounding the dune, echo the dominant downwind direction towards the southwest. This locality is in the northern lowlands, directly east of Doka Crater in Skandia Cavi. The Ares III landing site, where science fact meets fiction. Andy Weir, the author of the best-selling novel, The Martian, had previously contacted the HiRISE team requesting that we take a picture of the Ares III landing site from his novel in Acidalia, Planitia, within driving distance from the Pathfinder lander and Sojourner rover. One of the main objectives of the HiRISE camera is to carry out monitoring science, which means we usually take images of certain areas of high scientific interest on regular intervals. There is another key responsibility for the HiRISE camera, which is to help us choose landing sites for future missions. One of the techniques we usually use is to image a certain site of interest at least twice. By doing this, we are able to build a stereo view of the site, providing a chance to identify high and low points in the site more effectively. And now we have a similar stereo pair, and soon a DTM, for the Ares III landing site. That way, NASA can start planning on sending Mark Watney to Mars. From Ares III to Ares IV. In the novel The Martian, stranded astronaut Mark Watney travels from the Ares III site to the Ares IV site, where a Mars ascent vehicle could get him into Mars orbit to rejoin a spacecraft and return home. The Ares IV site is on the floor of a very shallow crater in the southwestern corner of Schiaparelli Crater. Our image shows a flat region that is entirely mantled by bright Martian dust. There are no color variations, just uniform, reddish dust. At full resolution, we see a pervasive, pitted texture that is characteristic of many dust deposits on Mars. No boulders are visible, so the dust is probably at least a meter thick. Past Martian rovers and landers from NASA have avoided such pervasively dust-covered regions for two reasons. First, the dust has a low thermal inertia, meaning that it gets extra warm in the daytime and extra cold at night, a thermal challenge to survival of the landers and rovers and people. Second, the dust hides the bedrock, so little is known about the bedrock composition and whether it is of scientific interest. There is morphologic evidence for layered rocks and narrow curving structures that could be fluvial channels, so the bedrock geology could be quite interesting. But exploring this site would be like trying to do fieldwork when there are several feet of snow on the ground. Then again, maybe the dust is cemented, so it is easier to drive or walk on it, but it still hides the bedrock from easy access. All along the fractures. We often take images of sand dunes to study the mobile soils. These images provide information about erosion and movement of surface material, about wind and weather patterns, even about the soil grains and grain sizes. However, looking past the dunes, these images also reveal the nature of the substrate beneath. Within the spaces between the dunes, a resistant and highly fractured surface is revealed. The fractured ground is resistant to erosion by the wind and suggests the material is bedrock that is now shattered by a history of bending stresses or temperature changes, such as cooling, for example. Alternately, the surface may be sedimentary layer that was once wet and shrunk and fractured as it dried, like gigantic mud cracks. In either case, the relative small and indistinct fractures have trapped the dark dune sand marching overhead. Now the fractures have become quite distinct, allowing us to examine the orientation and spacing of the fractures to learn more about the processes that formed them. Western edge of Marth Crater. In the book The Martian by Andy Weir, stranded astronaut Mark Watney is headed for the Ares IV landing site, but encounters the rim of Marth Crater just as a dust storm arrives. This high-rise image shows the nature of this terrain. The crater rim is not very distinct, and from the ground it would be quite difficult to tell that you are even on the rim of a crater. The terrain is hummocky and rolling, punctuated by smaller impact craters and wind-blown drifts of sand or dust. Nested channels near Hellas. We're not sure if this channel inside a channel was carved by flowing water or lava. Flowing water erodes channels, and flowing lava both erodes and melts surrounding rock to form channels. It's not clear whether a huge surge of water or lava first formed the wide channel and then subsided into a trickle to form this narrow inner channel, or if a trickle formed the inner channel and a subsequent surge formed the wider one. Detailed analysis of the shape could reveal which scenario is most likely, as well as whether water or lava is responsible. Relevant observations for such a determination would include, for example, the facts that the channels lack levees, ridges along the banks, and that the inner channel diverts around a mound, which at one time was an island. This channel system flowed to the southwest toward the huge Hellas impact basin. Dynamic Mars. This scarp at the edge of the North Polar Layer deposits of Mars is the site of the most frequent frost avalanches seen by IRIS. At this season, northern spring, frost avalanches are common, and HiRISE monitors the scarp to learn more about the timing and frequency of the avalanches and their relationship to the evolution of frost on the flat ground above and below the scarp. This picture managed to capture a small avalanche in progress. There is a small white cloud in front of the brick-red cliff, likely carbon dioxide frost dislodged from the layers above, caught in the act of cascading down the cliff. It is larger than it looks, more than 20 meters across, and based on previous examples, it will likely kick up clouds of dust when it hits the ground. The avalanches tend to take place at a season when the North Polar region is warming, suggesting the avalanches may be triggered by thermal expansion. The avalanches remind us, along with active sand dunes, dust devils, slope streaks, and recurring slope lineae, that Mars is an active and dynamic planet. You can see these images and more at uahighrise.org.